Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on a beautiful Thursday, April 19th. And you know what today is?
Patriots Day.
It's Patriots Day. And that was George Wheelis giving away the answer to today's quiz from the Sons of the American Revolution. And Alice Robinson is with us as well. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Lori.
Okay, so we're going to talk, obviously, about Patriots Day. What precisely happened on this date in 1775, George?
That was the Battle of Lexington and Concord in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And actually the start of the American Revolution.
Wow. Now, was that the shot heard around the world?
Yes, ma'am.
Dang. All right. So this is a big day. Who knew?
Absolutely.
So you guys came loaded for bear. We could talk for 3 hours about this, looking at the stack of stuff you guys brought in with you.
Well, we had to research it a little bit.
So, Alice, you were just going to read a real quick excerpt from a much longer poem Paul Revere's Ride. Who was that? Wadsworth? Longfellow?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. On the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. Then I'm going to skip over to almost the last.
Okay.
You know the rest. In the books you have read, how the British regulars fired and fled, how the farmers gave them ball for ball from behind each fence and farmyard wall, chasing the redcoats down the lane, then crossing the fields to emerge again under the trees at the turn of the road and only pausing to fire and load.
That was one scary day for those guys.
Yes.
And I know this because a few years ago when I was working in the yard, I was listening to Mark Levin. It was before I think it was around 2015. And I wanted to send our listeners. Okay, so by the way, everybody, this is going to be so educational that you have to take notes, and there probably will be a test and assignments. So it'd be great for you to read the whole poem of the Paul. What's it called? The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere.
Paul Revere's Ride.
Okay, Paul Revere's Ride. Also, on on YouTube, if you search Mark Levin, Joseph Warren, and you'll remember that name because we're going to talk about him in a minute. Mark Levin, Joseph Warren, you will hear the most amazing story about Joseph Warren, who was, George, remind me, he was a colonel? He was a doctor.
Yeah, he was a doctor, and he was probably a colonel or something in the militia.
And the Redcoats, as they called them, the British, were overwhelming those forces. And just before he went to his death in battle at the age of 34,
he was really young,
he dispatched Paul Revere and a couple of other guys to go and warn everybody else that the British were coming. And so talk about that a little bit for me, would you, please?
Well, actually.
Or correct me.
Yeah, the Battle of Bunker Hill, which is actually misnamed because it's actually on
Breed's Hill.
Came after Paul Revere, but Joseph Warren was one of the members of the Sons of Liberty and I think a committee of correspondence at the same time there in Boston. And he, among others, did dispatch the riders to warn the people. Actually, it was John Hancock and Samuel Adams were hiding out in Concord. And to let them know so that they wouldn't be captured. But they were also going there to get, because they had some gunpowder and stuff stored there,
Did
too.
Did the British have like a list, a rebels list that they were after?
Oh, I'm sure they had a big, long list of ones they were after.
Yeah, I bet they were. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking before the show, Alice, about one of Dr. John Furling's books. Now, he was a history professor for years, and I think he retired. He's emeritus now, but he retired, what, 10 years ago?
I think so.
Pretty close.
I can't believe it. So he wrote a book just about this. It's called Almost a Miracle.
Right. He is a revolutionary scholar. A Revolutionary War scholar. He may be. But he's so well known in the United States. He's published a number of books, and has been on the American History Channel, PBS, C-SPAN, and the Learning Channel. He's still very active in the community, and there's a scholarship that's being given in his name that the Daughters of the Revolution and the Sons are also encouraging people and contributing to.
So a scholarship for students interested mm-hmm. in pursuing a graduate degree?
A graduate student who would like to travel and increase their knowledge of a certain history subject.
Wow. Yeah. So do you guys, George, Alice, do you guys sit around and figure out ways to make our community a better place and then ideas like this come up?
Well, we do. We do that, actually. And we have people who come to us, which is wonderful.
With ideas.
Because we don't have to rack our brain. But we have a lot of things in the community. DAR helps veterans. We do things for students. We really encourage educational mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. In history, we give prizes for students who write essays, high school students who have done real well, have great GPAs, and also there's a good citizen scholarship.
I think that one huge component of being a good citizen is knowing our history.
Right.
And you guys are just keeping this alive. George, our listeners will never forget the day that it wasn't George Wheelis behind the green microphone. It was General Washington himself.
With a beard.
He hadn't shaved yet that day.
Yeah, we do similar things. Mm-hmm. Our chapter, through some anonymous donations several years ago, established an endowed scholarship.
That's amazing.
At the university. And each year through that, a student, it could be undergraduate or graduate, gets a $1,200 scholarship.
That's fantastic.
For the year. And we do similar things. And you're the recipient of one of our things. And the last time we were here, gave you an Outstanding Citizenship Award.
And that was one of the best mornings of my life. I'm not kidding, man. That's such an honor, you guys.
And things.
That's
and
my picture in the paper.
Yes.
With George Washington.
And we do things with veterans. We're pretty similar in all of the things that we do. There's not a lot of difference.
Well,
instead of women are a lot better looking than us all ugly guys.
You know, I kind of see his point, but I prefer. Well, anyway, so okay, let's talk more about April the 19th. Gosh, Patriots Day, George. I don't think I've put you on the spot yet. So, be wonderful.
I would say you said it was a long day, and it was. It started about 3 o'clock in the morning, the engagement in Lexington as the British marched into. Mm-hmm. Well, actually started before that, with the guys riding, Paul Revere, William Dawes, and Samuel Prescott. But the actual engagement of folks started somewhere around 3 a.m. And
wow.
it did not end until after sunset. That day when the British finally made all the way back to, Charlestown, where they were encircled by about 4,000 militia.
Oh, man.
So it was a long, terrible day. You're right.
Yeah. And it was also, as you said, terrible. And so one wonders, after hearing the story, how did these militiamen, the American revolutionaries, how did they keep their morale up? How did they look at the sheer might of the most powerful military on the planet at the time and say, yeah, I think we could take them?
Well, they were kind of broken up on this day, but the British had, let me see, a few thousand soldiers, but they were not all together.
Mm-hmm.
And because some of them had, I guess you'd call, flanking things around Lexington to get to Concord. So they didn't have all their eggs in one basket, so to speak. But when you got to Concord, it was pretty serious. But as the day went on, more and more militia poured in. So because you figure by the time they get back to Charlestown, there's over 4,000 militia have joined the ranks. They came from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody kicked over a hornet's nest, and
they came swarming.
They came swarming out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think this is a good time for us to take our first break. And when we come back in 60 seconds, more about Patriots Day, more reading assignments, maybe a pop quiz here or there. Who knows? Stick around and find out with us.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama. Because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Happy Patriots Day, everybody. This is Lori Wilson on our second segment of Community Voice. We have George Willis of the Sons of the American Revolution and Alice Robinson of Daughters of the American Revolution. Glad I didn't get that mixed up. That would be weird. Okay, so speaking of Daughters of the American Revolution, tell us, Alice, what role or roles women played at that time?
Oh, women played their part, too, in the Revolution. One of the most famous was Sybil Ludington, who was a 16-year-old girl. And Sybil had a similar ride to Paul Revere.
Really?
Yes. Her father was a colonel in the French Indian War and commander of the militia in Dutchess County, New York. And she went out and rode a 40-mile ride to warn our troops.
Far was Paul Revere's ride, by the way? George is giving
me. Well, I think from Charlestown to Concord, if I remember correctly, was about 30 miles.
Okay, so Sybil outrode Paul Revere.
She did. And she...
And as a result, I'm sure she saved many lives. And
she did. And also, she received thanks from George Washington. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, she was a little bit famous. We haven't heard much about her, but there's a statue of Sybil. And other women were big in the Revolution. Gage's wife. Margaret Gage.
Is that John Gage? Did I get
yeah.
John Gage?
General Gage, the British general, yeah.
The British general's wife?
Yeah. She was friends with Joseph Warren and gave them a little information that she got from her husband. So that was a...
I wonder why.
That was interesting.
Well, she was a Jersey girl and a semi-patriot because they were her.
So she was born on
Yeah, she
on
was
this
from
continent,
New Jersey, yeah.
And she married the British general. I didn't know that. Why were we not informed? They need to make a movie about this chick.
Maybe they will now, if you suggest it.
Yeah, they will. That's how powerful I am.
I think so.
I've heard Dr. Joseph Warren's name come up again, so I'm going to reiterate everybody's listening assignment. Honestly, I know I'm kidding about the assignment part, obviously, but just Google Mark Levin, whom you'll hear on this station at I think 6 to 9 or 9 to I think it's 9 to I don't remember. Anyway, it's yeah, I think it's at 9 o'clock. Anyway, so you'll listen to Mark Levin, or you'll Google him and Dr. Joseph Warren. And you'll hear 15 minutes of the most riveting storytelling. That's exactly what we're talking about today, April 19th being Patriots Day. So you've been looking and talking about women in the Revolution.
Yes,
did you?
And I have to talk about my relative,
okay.
Mary LaFoon, who took her children and lived in a cave and would sneak around and hear the British talking and then come tell our troops. And
she took the kids to a cave so that she would specifically, so she would be out in the field.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So they lived off the land, berries and things like that for a while.
Oh, I bet you we could do that too, right?
Yeah
right. Wow. These stories are really interesting. How very few of us know what any of our ancestors circa late 18th century were doing. So it's wonderful that you have all that information.
Well, I found that out when I was researching my family history in South Carolina and came upon this at Anderson College.
No kidding.
Yeah, they have a room. The William Clayton descendants have a Clayton room there. And
wow.
Told about her.
Yeah, that really must affect the way you feel about yourself
your
ancestors. Yeah, that's wonderful. What do you know about your ancestors, George?
Well, the one I got in the SAR on, I know he was in Virginia militia. I have one that was in the 10th North Carolina Continental Line, and he was at he wasn't at Valley Forge, but he was at another camp in Philadelphia at the same winter, and he was basically that unit was at what is now what we now know as West Point.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I think it helped build some of the fortifications and stone walls there. So,
have I told you? I'm sure you've already heard about it, but there's a 4-season series called Turn, T-U-R-N, right. Washington Spy.
Yes.
And it is. Do you think that it is as wonderful in terms of the historicity of it? Have you seen it?
A lot of those. Yes and no, but some of it's added. Right. Like they do stuff on TV and movies, they add extra for dramatization. But
right.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
But it's really good. It would be a great day to start binge watching Washington Spies.
Yes.
On, I think, oh, I don't
know. And George Washington's Secret Six is a book about his spies.
Really?
Yes.
The what was it? The Culper ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. So, okay, you were telling me during the break something about Frederica, George. Who is Frederica?
Okay, Fort Frederica.
Oh.
Which is on St. Simon's Island.
Okay.
On April the 19th, 1778, the American forces in a naval action, which you don't hear too much about other than John Paul Jones, captured 4 or 5 ships. I think Samuel Elbert was a colonel in the militia.
And they captured British ships?
I said, I have the happiness to inform you that about 10 o'clock this forenoon, the brigantine Hinchinbrook, the sloop Rebecca, and a prize brig all struck the British tyrant's colors and surrendered to the American arms. And it took place right off our coast.
Wow.
And if you go to in St. Simon Sound, not far from where you can go visit the remains or ruins of Fort Frederica.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Those were very, very tough people that were living on this continent at the time. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, and every year, usually the second or third Saturday in April, they have a big to-do. I think they call it Frederica Days. Fort Frederica Days, but they have parade, and they've even had people on horseback dressed as like I did last time, and people portraying different things. But it's a big deal,
a big reenactment. Yeah. You gave me this trifold that everyone can hear right now, and it's just about April 19th, 1775. I just want to read a little excerpt. The shot heard round the world. Warned by Paul Revere, William Dawes, and Samuel Prescott, the Massachusetts militia mobilized to block a larger, better-trained British force coming to seize the militia weapons at Concord. At Lexington, Major John Pitcairn, leading a detachment of Royal Marines, told the colonists there, "Disperse, you rebels! Darn you!" He didn't say darn. "Throw down your arms and disperse." So nobody knows who shot the first, or who fired the first shot on Lexington Green. I wonder who that was.
They have no idea. There have been, if you read the accounts, sometimes some blame the British, some blame the Patriots, and some blame, I think one guy called them interlopers.
Oh, really?
That
maybe
was
somebody
just in the area and decided, hey, let's see what happens or whatever.
Maybe somebody just sort of tripped in that.
Yeah, they fired by mistake.
Yeah, oops.
That would be kind of hilarious. But okay, where are we going next in this conversation? We have so much to talk about. What are the causes of the American Revolution?
Well, the founding of the colonies. Many of the colonies were first founded by people trying to escape religious persecution. Mm-hmm. And as the British government became more involved in the affairs of the colonies, people began to worry that that would happen again and they would lose more of their freedoms.
The religious persecution would mm-hmm. transfer onto this continent.
Right.
Okay.
And, of course, the French and Indian War and taxes and more taxes. And protests in Boston.
So they weren't that much different than we are.
Right. More taxes.
Government interference.
Right.
Stamp Act. The tax on the tea.
Yeah. The Sugar Act. Currency Act. Quartering Act.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And then the Stamp Act.
You know, that I learned everything I needed to know about the Quartering Act in that show, Washington Spies. I'll tell you really quickly what it is, and then we're going to go to a break. And that was simply that the British forced the colonists to essentially board and feed some random soldier. So you had, oh. Right?
Right, and sort of like the Civil War. We had to mm-hmm.
yeah,
keep some of the northern people.
And you had no choice. You just
right.
had to have them in
there
your house.
There were.
Well, okay. On that sobering note, let's go to our second break, and we'll be back in 60 seconds with George Wheelis and Alice Robinson and continue celebrating Patriots Day.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Hello, Patriots. Are you still with us? This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. George Wheelis and Alice Robinson, and we are talking about Patriots Day, which is April 19th. Hey, that was some good scheduling you did with this show.
It worked out pretty good,
didn't it?
It
worked out really well. So we have 8 minutes left to talk yeah. about what that, which could take okay. 3 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Several years ago, like 12 years ago, I had to give a speech, and I was reminded, because being a teacher, and to give away my age too much, but about 60 years ago, Walt Disney put out a movie, Johnny Tremaine, which is an excellent movie. And in that, after it relates to the events of April the 19th. And they've all forced the British back into Charlestown, and they're surrounded by the militia, and the bonfires are burning around.
Okay, who's the they who are surrounded?
The British.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
And Johnny Tremaine had a girlfriend named Scylla, and she was looking for him after it. And he was laying in a pile of hay, asleep, obviously from being tired mm-hmm. from the struggles. And she thought he was dead, and she realized he wasn't. And she said, and I'm quoting this part, Johnny, I'm so glad it's over. And out of the shadows, another great patriot of the day, James Otis, steps out from the shadows and whatnot and says, "Over? Nothing is over. It is only a beginning, a kindling of the flame. Mm-hmm. Feed it, lads. It is a spark of liberty that you have touched the fire, and its light must grow until every dark corner is vanished and it illuminates the world." So, you know, the idea
wow.
of liberty and kindling, a lot of people, you know, younger people probably don't know what kindling, the kindle of fire is, but it's delicate work to get the flame going and mm-hmm. to start your fire.
Mm-hmm. And to keep it aflame.
Right. And then, you know, and then and I wrote, it's a flame, such a simple, delicate, and beautiful thing. Many things can snuff it out. The kindling of a flame requires much effort, diligence, and dedication. Liberty, such a simple, beautiful idea and so delicate. The idea that men can live without fear of tyranny, that a few men cannot seize power and control over thousands, and that wherever the sun shines, a man shall choose who rules over him. The simple idea that a man can stand and enjoy his natural rights. The flame of liberty is simple, beautiful, and delicate. Like a flame, it too can easily be snuffed out, and its kindling also requires much effort, dedication, and diligence. And a quote from, I can't remember where I got this from, but the condition upon which God hath given liberty to man is eternal vigilance, which condition, if he breaks servitude, is at once the consequence of his crime and the punishment of his guilt.
That sends a chill up my spine, George, because I see people today just willing to give up liberties left and right. And even in this country, I hear people talking in terms of, the government gives me the right to, and I'm going, no, that's not what we think here. That's not what we're predicated on. It's that we were born with these rights and the government must protect. But we've gotten to a point at which many people feel they have to petition the government for certain freedoms. And
right.
It's just all upside down.
Yeah.
So this is a really good time for us to be thinking about patriotism.
Two things, and we don't end that. But ignorance and apathy, a number of people have said, is our greatest enemies. Ignorance of our history, for one thing. And that's what Alice and I and our organization is about. But apathy is to the point that we get to a point that we don't care too much.
Let me see if I can remember this little quatrain that I just recently heard. Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make hard times.
Oh.
And I think on April 19th, 1775, we had the hard times, the hard men making, in the midst of making good times. These days, we've been fat and happy for most of the 20th century and now well into the 21st century.
Since you mentioned that, if I can, he's Disraeli, the British Prime Minister. In a quote that I found, great nations rise and fall. The people go from bondage to spiritual truth, to great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back again to bondage.
Oh, man.
That's just what you said.
I know. Yeah. Gosh, what a downer. Because we know where we are right now, and we have to stop allowing ourselves to be dependent on a nanny government that's would prefer
exactly.
us to be weak.
Mm-hmm. Well, be not just government dependent on a lot of things we don't need to be dependent on.
That is so
and
true.
Not let other people do our thinking for us.
Or are working for us.
But I'm thinking more about that. That would take care of if you didn't let people do your thinking.
That's true. So I think we have 3 minutes left. Alice, I'm going to throw to you, as we say in the interview business. What else do you want us? Oh, you're going to read the Concord Hymn. Excellent.
Yeah. Great.
That's a great way to end.
By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled, here once the embattled farmer stood and fired the shot heard round the world. The foe long since in silence slept, alike the conqueror silent sleeps. And time the ruined bridge has swept down the dark stream which seaward creeps. On this green bank, by this soft stream, we set today a votive stone that memory may there deem redeem when, like our sires, our sons are gone. Spirit that made those heroes dare to die or leave their children free, bid time and nature gently spare the shaft we raised to them and thee.
Hmm. Yep. Good old Emerson. He knew. All of those guys knew that unless we carry these memories and just the knowledge of how we got to be Americans with all of the freedoms that we have, that we would just lose them. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Let's not lose it, guys. Okay, let me see. How long do we have? We have 1 minute. George, take it. He loves it when I do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I already shut my notebook. No, I'm just kidding. But no, we just, like I say, we try to keep the
flame alive.
Yeah, the flame alive and keep everybody informed because an informed citizenship is what democracy is based on.
It's predicated. And, it's the first principle.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yep.
And people like ready to do, not just you, although I'm not, you know, skinny, but, you know, that shows like this that
enable us to
do it in newspapers, yep. Like the local newspaper and whatever.
So read up on Patriots Day, check out Mark Levin's story about Joseph Warren, and be back here in 23 and a half hours when Colin Worthington will be here. Until then, right? Okay, cool. I got one in a row. Have a great day, everybody. Remember our forefathers.
National headlines, Georgia State news and sports, and the local stories you care about. News Talk 1330 WLBB, Carrollton.